All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back as we slice the seal on another episode of the Case Fresh podcast. I am the Fig Heel. You can find me on Instagram at Fig Heel. Check out my collection, my books, my videos, everything that we got going on. And my partner over here, my brother from another mother,
the Fig Vault. You can catch me at Fig Vault on Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, you name it. I'm on all of it. By the way, right. I like that slice to seal. I get your reference there.
That literally, I don't even know where that came from. It literally just shot into my brain in that second.
I would have went pop the seal, but it wouldn't have made sense for, you know, what we got with the Case Fresh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty sick.
So last week we did our pilot episode where basically we just introduced ourselves. And I am very adamant on explaining that because I wanted people to know that this is like an official episode. We're going to really go through the format of everything. And we're going to be doing a lot of cool, fun, exciting stuff, spotlighting some people. But I know that you had some follow-up that you wanted to talk about from last week. So you can get that done now.
Okay. Yeah. So on the pilot episode, you talked about how we've been talking about doing this podcast for years. And you said, oh yeah, Fig Vault's been asking. And I turned them down, and you're kind of making me look like a jobber there. Because how I recall it is we talk about doing this podcast for the last few years. And then when it came to the subject of editing, neither of us wanted to do it. So we kind of just stopped talking about it.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. I was kind of trying to put you over essentially as opposed to me, but I guess it did come off that way. Really what it was, is like, I just didn't want any extra work because
you're busy. I get it.
Yeah. I do so much with the content stuff, but we knew it was coming. Right. But, yeah,
definitely.
But like, yeah, really, there's no other follow-up, I would say, from last week, other than one thing.
I have one note I would like to add on. Sure. Last week, I had some choice words for Brian Danielson.
That was the follow-up I wanted to talk about.
So I said Brian Danielson doesn't do it for me, and I don't give a fuck about Brian Danielson. And of course, this past weekend, he puts on a banger of a match with Will Ospreay, which was a really good match, and I liked it. And I'm here to tell you that it did not change my feelings one bit for Brian Danielson. Still fuck him, still don't care about him. But it was a good match. I really enjoyed it. It's just so many kicks and chops and running knees. It's like, all right.
That was the ultimate heel promo right there. You did exactly what you were supposed to. You were like, started putting him over, and then you said, but still don't give a fuck about Brian Danielson. And the reason that was going to be the follow-up for me was because that hot take, I feel like that was such a huge takeaway from everybody who listened to the episode. I had so many people DM, text, or comment on stuff saying like that the people really like enjoyed the fact that you said that. Like, it was very unfiltered. It was very, like, you know, authentic and organic, and it just kind of came out. And I think that's what people are looking for. They don't want somebody who's just going to, you know, tiptoe around stuff like that.
Yeah, same here. I thought I was going to get a lot more hate, to be honest with you, but people thought it was enjoyable and they thought it was funny. So
yeah,
glad you thought
And here's the thing, like, everybody has one, right? Everybody or maybe multiple wrestlers that are so over, right? And they just aren't on board. Like, I think I've told you before, like, mine is and probably always will be Shinsuke Nakamura. Don't get it. I don't fucking get it. I really don't. What I'm about to say, I do not mean disrespectfully, but everybody puts over what a great in-ring technical wrestler he is. I don't see it. To me, he's so sloppy and all over the place and not like cleansed and put together. People say like, oh, it's the song. It's a song. It's like, so you're a fan of the band? Like, well, I don't understand. Like that, I'm talking about the person. Like he's so over, and I understand that. I just don't see what everybody else sees. And that's okay, because there's probably wrestlers that I love that people are like, I don't get it. I don't get why somebody likes this person. You know, it just is what it is.
Yeah. My thing with Nakamura is I admittedly don't watch New Japan Wrestling, and I was in Dallas for the NXT event where he debuted. I knew nothing about him. lights go out, that banger of a theme comes on, and he just had this mystique about him, and he put on a banger with Sami Zayn, and I was a fan ever since. So,
yeah,
I mean, I get it, but like, he captivated me like instantly.
Yeah, there's all different reasons that people like certain things. I'm just not on board, but I wouldn't say that I don't give a fuck about Shinsuke Nakamura. I will say that new elite he's got coming out in that robe that he's been wearing is pretty dope. But since we're talking about opinions, I think that we should talk about those new WWE tag team titles that they showed off on SmackDown. I know how I feel about them, but I'm curious. We really didn't talk about it, and I'm trying to avoid talking about certain things with you in private. I want to know what you think about these tag team titles right here.
Okay, so those are great. I really like them. I dig them. It's obviously a nod to the old school ones. I wish they would have threw some blue in the globe. Just give it a little bit of color, but like, come on, those Roman pieces of shit that they had for years, these blow them away.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree. Somebody did edit this like picture with the blue, and it like, it really just boom, brought it out on another level. And you know what? There's been plenty of times championship titles in the past where they've added a little bit of color or changed up color, like little things here and there. So who knows? Maybe they will do that. I still think it looks great, though.
Definitely. Huge improvement.
Yeah, 100%. But all right. So now it's time for figure news. And I'm still shocked that there's a decent amount of figure news this week, considering that we are still recently removed from WrestleMania. We saw all these figure reveals and stuff. But, you know, the reason for that is WWE is not the only show in town making figures anymore, right?
No, sir.
So the first thing, it's not really a reveal, but it is a piece of news. Today, as we record this on Wednesday night, those Ring of Honor drop twos came out, right? With the Bryan Danielson that you don't give a fuck about and those Young Bucks that I don't give a fuck about, but bought both of them. So what did you order from that drop on Jazz Bears Fall?
I kind of buried the Young Bucks at first, and then I saw better pictures of them, and I like them, so I ordered that set, and predictably I did not order the Bryan Danielson figure. It looks all right. I never watched them in Ring of Honor. It's just not for me.
Totally understandable. As I've said, I've never watched anybody. I've never watched any Ring of Honor, you know what I mean? But what I will say that I didn't really talk about last week, the Bryan Danielson, it's not a bad figure at all. It's just like the same thing. It's like, you know, it is what it is. It's very, very simple. I don't like the Bucks, but I did buy them because I like the idea of the line, and I do like the Kenny Omega. I love the Claudio. I have said, and I will stand by this, that is the best Claudio / Cesaro figure ever made. I don't care what anybody says. I think it is. I love the toyeticness of it. I love the alternate heads. I love that, like, when he had, like, that superstar Billy Graham style, like, mutton chops and long hair. I just think it's very unique and very different for a guy who really doesn't have too much going on with his look. So I do think that is probably the most toyetic of his figures. Second, I'd probably say is that the tearaway suit one. But it's the tearaway rubber suit that you can't do anything with. So he's just like, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going with the Ring of Honor as my favorite of his figures. I really do love that. But all right, so on to new stuff.
Davey.
From our friend Mitch over at Hastel Toy and Grapplers and Gimmicks, we have this British Bulldog exclusive. I don't really know where it's exclusive to because I think he's just selling it. But this is like a, what would you call that? This is like a best of 97 Jax BCA Davey in retro form.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is to me.
So what would be your critique of this?
The head and the neck, so it's a little that little gap there, I don't like that, but other than that, I really like it.
I think everybody's eyes are going to that. I gotta believe that that's not actually what the final product's gonna look like. That gap, but I think that that's what a lot of people's eyes are going to. It's just glaring, right? It goes right to it. The clothesline arm, I like that he's doing the Mattel style clothesline arm with the jointed elbow.
Yes.
I think that's a good step for him. He's kind of advancing his releases of retro. So good for Mitch.
Yeah.
I'm curious what's on the back of that vest.
Same. Same.
What do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be the skull and the bulldog, the Hart Foundation logo.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm very curious. But I like the boots. I like the tassels. It really just brought me back to Best in 97.
Yeah.
He also showed off.
Boom. The Canadian. There you go.
I mean, I think they look great.
Oh, definitely. I love them. Just getting both of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just new gen as fuck. It's I love it, man. These are great.
And the removable glasses. I don't think that we've ever gotten, there was never a Hasbro with removable glasses, right? And have we gotten any other retros with removable glasses? I'm trying to think.
No.
And surprisingly, sometimes, I know you know this, sometimes hats and glasses end up looking real fucking weird on figures. These actually don't look bad. The glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a couple of people saying that they don't like the glasses. Like, I don't understand why. I think they look great.
You don't like them. The thing is, they're not attached. Just take them off. You know what I mean?
It's really simple.
These fit in perfectly, in my opinion. And these are the factory plastic sample, which means that they're making their way, you know, through the production process, which is pretty exciting. So I'm sure these will be around very soon, and they are going to be a 2-pack, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I was thrilled to see these at 2 a.m. on Saturday over the weekend. Yeah. Come on, Mitch. You got to start posting a little earlier, pal.
Yeah. I don't know why he does that. I mean, I've said something to him before, you know, like he's asked me to post things like at certain times. I'm like, how about we wait until tomorrow? Like, you know, like there, you don't want to do it at 2 a.m. That's, you don't want to do that, you know?
My guess is he's an enthusiastic guy. He gets the pictures and he just goes, makes it, and he's ready to post it. And that's how I am with reels. If I make a reel, I can't sit on a reel. I got to post it immediately. And so I get it. I get it.
I've told you the same thing. Like, you gotta be patient with the reels, because you have some good reels, and then like, and you watch them. You know what I mean? I'm like, you wait till the right time. Like, it's perfect. But there's definitely been times where I've woken up in the morning and I'll have like a 3-4 a.m. Message from Mitch with like a dope picture. You know what I mean? Like, he is an enthusiastic guy, and you got to remember, he's communicating with people over in China. So he's probably literally getting these images moments before he posts them. So I think that's really what it comes down to.
100%. I understand the enthusiasm, but
absolutely. But like, you know, he is collaborating with us on post, and essentially we're not seeing it until hours later. So it's kind of losing that, like that wider reach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's AEW. And there were a decent amount of AEW reveals this week. So we're going to take a look at those. First up, it's not really a reveal. This came with the All Elite crate. This is the AEW Mystery Micro Brawler Mini Special Edition. And it is Christian Cage. And as you can see, there's 5 different versions of this. There's orange, which is 1 in every 2 packs, is this Christian Cage. Right? That's what it means, 1 and 2?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's the yellow, 1 in every 4, the blue, 1 in every 5, the red, 1 in every 20, and then the only one made Christian, which there's only one made. I think this is a pretty cool thing. However, this definitely sucks for somebody who is a completist on AEW Micro Brawlers, because there's only one of that Christian Cage, and there are people, confirmed, there are people out there who get these and they like the mystique of it and they do not open it. So there could be, very likely, somebody out there who got this in their crate and they do not open the bag to see what's inside, because they just like having that, like that power over something, right? Or that power of not knowing and curiosity. Yeah. So who knows?
These come in a crate?
This, I believe, that's what I heard. I'm pretty sure this came with the most recent All Elite crate. I could be wrong. But I thought that's what the deal was.
I'd be pissed if I got a mini with my crate.
Oh, no, it had a regular one too.
Oh, okay.
They've done that before where it had a regular
same, right?
Brawler. Yeah, and then they had the micro mini. But of these, which one would you want? Like, if you, like, If you got the crate and you got this and you were looking at the back before you opened it, which one would you be hoping is inside besides the gold, right? Because, you know, you're looking at that, you're like, oh, this will be an easy flip. This will be an easy thing for me to trade for something else. Which of the colors would you prefer?
I would go the orange. I would just go to standard. I feel like that's the most, even the most recognizable look, in my opinion. I went and went blue tights or red tights.
Okay. I'm looking at blue or red. That's the ones I would want. And not because of the numbers. Probably the blue, because it reminds me of this one TNA Marvel figure that there was. And I think it just looks pretty cool. But all right, moving on to the AEW stuff. We saw renders of AEW Unrivaled 15, which went up for pre-order. On Ringside Collectibles, use code FIGHEEL to save 10%.
Use code VAULT to save 10%.
No, VAULT saves you 9%. I've tried it. I tried supporting you, man, but it saves 9%. It hurts. And somebody shit in the box.
Yeah, right. I don't know about all that.
First
Here
up.
We go. Here we go.
First up. MJF, the Joker. I think this is awesome. This is, I mean, it can't, like, they don't really mess up masks. Jasper doesn't mess up masks. They don't mess up painted faces. They really don't. So if it has a mask or painted face, it usually comes out pretty well.
Home run.
Yeah.
We're both MJF marks. I love MJF. This was such a huge moment. You know, he called Tony a mark, disappeared for a while, then he comes back with the mask, wins the Battle Royal. Awesome. Such a cool figure.
And I love that he comes with the chip. I think that's...
Oh, the chip's great.
That's like, to me, that's equivalent to a championship.
Oh, definitely.
There's the back of it. Here we have... what is it? What does he call this? It's not Lion Tamer, right? It's not Lion Tamer.
It's Lionheart.
Lionheart, Chris Jericho. So obviously, what does this remind you of? When you first see this,
was it Ringmasters? No, yeah. Is it Ringmasters?
Yep.
Toy Biz. That's the only Toy Biz I had as a kid was this, only because he jumped ship to WWF, and I needed a Jericho figure.
You needed it for the BCAs, right?
1,000%.
And it was arguably better than a BCA because the articulation in it made it much easier to do the Lion Tamer. You know. Or the Walls of Jericho, which we, you know, got accustomed to calling it. But at the time, I referred to it as the Lion Tamer.
It's the Lion Tamer for me, too, all the way.
Yeah, but that's what this reminds me of. And how funny would it be if they did, like, a little nod to that and he came with a little cat?
Oh, I would love that. I would love that.
But, I mean, it looks great, right?
And the face is a little bit weird.
It's pointy. Right, it's like
yeah. It looks like he has like a goatee or something. Like when I first saw it, I didn't know it was Jericho. To be honest with you, I thought it was like some old biker.
Yeah, but I don't know. Have you watched the Netflix wrestlers documentary TV show thing?
I couldn't. I watched like 15 minutes of it, and
it
grabbed me.
There's a guy on there. I think his name's Cash Blow. That's who I thought this fucking was. But anyway, so. This figure, I think, is really cool. But the question I have is why did we never get that neutral Chris Jericho head scan that was on the action ring box? Do you remember that? Why did we never get that? But every figure had that and that face that he had. It's like they never did like a neutral head scan for him. And now we get this. But I thought that head on that box was great.
No, it was great. And it's funny that he has all those other like action sculpts or scans. And then when he's jumping off the top rope on the box, he has a neutral face.
Yeah, exactly. You think it'd be the other way around, but whatever. There's the back of it. Nothing, you know, it's not too much going on there. We get Samoa Joe. He's got the towel instead of the green, instead of the red, it's the green. I mean, this just is like, I mean, we've gotten this in Mattel Basics and, you know, yeah. it's, nothing too crazy for me.
Yeah, he's slimmed up a bit.
He's still got that baby hand. Is this a different head scan with longer hair? I really don't have the other one in my hand. So
I bought it and I just toted it up. I didn't open it, but it looks, it appears so.
Yeah. There's the back again, nothing on the back, nothing. Here we go. Daniel Garcia. I remember you used to say I looked like him, and he comes with the, what is that title? The Pride title?
Pure.
I don't know why I said Pride. This is outdated. outdated.
It's so outdated. And, you know, I know it takes time to make figures, but, like, I mean, he wears tights now. This is trunks. And to be honest with you, like, from the side, it looks like him, but the head on, it doesn't look that great. And I don't know, man. Like, this attire is just not it. And he's just a totally different performer at this point. So I'm not digging it.
I mean, one thing, at least he's got fists, so you can put him in the dance pose.
But yeah.
Fuck, man, this is so outdated. Again, nothing too different on the back. We got Soraya, and she's basically in all black gear. You know, she's got the fishnets on her legs. A lot of people saying it looks like Michael Jackson in the face.
I mean, I think the likeness is great, personally.
Dude, so do I. A lot of people are saying it looks like Michael Jackson. I think it looks like her, but like, not trying to be rude, but she does have a similar nose to Michael Jackson.
Sure.
You know, like, I don't think that's being rude saying that. She does have a similar, but I don't think she looks like Michael Jackson. No,
I think people just like to hate and then just throw that out there and then it catches on and that's what everybody sees.
100%. Very colorful jacket, which is pretty cool. It's the most color we've seen in this set so far. And there she is without the jacket on. Again, it's not too much going on. Like, it's, you know, very, I don't know. The gear that they chose for these figures is very, very basic to me, but
yeah.
And here we have All Ego Ethan Page. I mean, I feel like they've been talking about this figure for 2 years now.
I know, it's a shame. I really feel for him, and he deserves a figure. I'm glad it's coming, but it has been a bit.
Yeah, and again, he's just in like black trunks with a little bit of white deco on him and black and white knee pads. Very, very simplistic. But he's got the jacket, right? The All Ego jacket.
Yeah.
Decent looking head sculpt on him there.
Yeah, there sure.
Without the jacket.
Okay, great. He's got the pointers. The pointers are a must.
And he's got the neutral head scan with a little smirk on it, I guess. So,
yeah, it's a decent likeness. I'm really happy that he's getting a figure because he is a figure guy. You always love when a figure guy gets their own figure finally.
Yeah, because you know they appreciate it.
Oh, 100%. There it is.
Here is the one of. Is this the one of 3,000 or 5,000?
5,000.
One of 5,000 MJF. Is this a new head sculpt?
Looks I don't like know.
It. It's hard to tell what renders, but it looks like it.
It does look like it. Man, I feel like they always like. I feel like Jazzwares always makes his hair look red. It just looks. It's off.
Because he does have like that lighter brown when light hits it, but I don't know. They just the likeness is always off. He looks like he's got like a mouthful of sunflower seeds on this one. I really don't know.
Yeah,
but to me. The thing that makes me want this is the mask hand.
Fuck yeah.
When I first saw this, I was like, that's kind of, it's weird. It's like the same figure. They're having the Joker head off to the side. And then I realized it's a hand holding the mask. And I was like, fuck, I need that.
Oh, 1,000%. Even if it wasn't the, you know, holding the mask, it's a cheap, easy chase, but it makes sense, and I'm all for it. But I mean, the mask can just puts it over the top, and I must have it.
Yeah, I'm definitely grabbing this one. He just has the black clothes. I mean, we know it's nothing else. But the other chase, the one of 5,000, there's 3,000.
3,000
is the Darby, jacket, Ethan Page, with the black and the gold accents on his gear, but. He posted pictures of the actual things here. The head on the right looks better, but that one on the left.
It's that so looks, small.
It's like an FTC head. Like the way it sits on the neck, it does yeah. not look good.
Yeah. It happens with Mattel too. Like sometimes they just, it's like the heads aren't on all the way. And I find myself like boiling the heads. And then they pop on and they're so much more snug. And, this is like a lollipop head. Like, yeah, this doesn't look that great.
That's what it is. He's got a lollipop for a head. It's weird. But, I mean, the deco looks great. It's just that one head really threw me off.
Yeah. That. So, look, you can see, like, the neck peg articulation in the back. And he's just looking forward. Like, you shouldn't be able to see that. Like, it should be a little bit lower than that.
Yeah, that should be hidden. And last we saw... Ringside Collectibles showed off their upcoming exclusive of right there, Jeff Jarrett, The Last Outlaw. Interesting that his first time in the line is going to be a Ringside Collectibles exclusive. I would have thought they would save that for a mainline drop. But two heads smiling and kind of looking like a little smug and angry. He's got the two fingers, which I love. You can put him in that pose for the strut. He's got the guitar. I really hope it's not breakable. And the one thing that stood out to me, it looks like on his shorts, he's got the My World logo, which I popped for.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's, you know.
We got box mock-ups, which is pretty cool. You know, he's got the boxes, and it has, like, the cutout for the window is the JJ logo that he's had forever, which I think is
really cool. I didn't even catch that. That's cool.
Yeah. And then there's the back. So
yeah. Yeah. All that's running through my mind is he left WWE for this figure, and we could have had that Ultimate.
Man, that ultimate was awesome. But I gotta say, man, I am excited for that Zombie Sailor Toys one.
I'm excited for that as well. But I just know the Mattel one was going to be the white gear with the white straps, with the red lettering. I needed it so bad. That was so high on my list.
Yeah, I know. I really wanted it. And even though we are getting a zombie, like, I do think I probably would have preferred the Mattel, just for uniformity of everything, you know. And like, it's one of those things, which we're going to touch on this later, because somebody asked me in the Q&A a question that kind of aligns with that. We'll talk more about it, but we're going to move on. We're going to move on to our scoops. So we talked about how we call what we get each week our scoops. So we're going to talk about the things that we picked up this week, and I'm going to let you go first. Tell me what, you don't have to tell me, you don't have to talk about everything, but you know, the things that stood out.
I had another light week. My scoops this week started with, I went to a local Walmart and I was looking for those Monday Night War Ultimates. And I go to my local Walmart. They don't, nothing on the pegs, of course. And then I go to the lawn and garden section and they have pallets stacked up. And I'm like, oh, pallets. And then I see the Monday Night Wars Ultimates lined up there. And there was some Lady Hawk and me, some employee. So I go get somebody else, and they ask if they can open it up. And I see that it's already been opened up. So while he's asking her, I just went for it, man. I just took out a Brett, and I took out a Roddy, and I got the fuck out of there, paid for it, and I was out. So those are my two main pickups. And I also ordered the Maivia 3-pack on walmart.com. I ordered it at, I think it was like 7:22 a.m. and I get home from work around 4:45, and it was on my doorstep, and I was thrilled about that. And I know it came from a local store, but I mean, still, I ordered it from Walmart and they delivered all on the same day, so I was pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, so I've done 3 pre-orders on that Rock 3-pack, and it's been canceled each time. And I ordered mine from walmart.com before you did, and you got yours like that day, and then days later mine got canceled.
Yeah, but you guys got it a day before me on Sunday, and I missed it, and I was pissed because I was looking for a laptop for the show. I was like, these motherfuckers. And then it pops up a couple days later, and I get it, and you guys don't.
I know. Yeah, you see it. The world works in mysterious ways. But I also picked up the Monday Night Wars Ultimates. I got Roddy, and then I found a case at my local Walmart that I pulled off a pallet and opened and took out the Brett. There was also a pallet. I mean, there was also a case of the Top Picks figures, and I grabbed the Logan Paul, which I really, really wanted. I was going to get that at Mania at WWE World, but the prices were like double what they are in retail. So I was like, I'm going to wait. I'll find it. That Prime bottle really brings it to the next level for me. I needed that. Definitely. I also got these from my friend Junk Shop Dog. Sent these over from across the pond. And these, I have all of the Junk Shop Dog figures, right? But these are very, very special. I mean, if you told me years ago that Junk Shop Dog was going to be doing WWE officially licensed branded figures, but also doing Hulk Hogan, I would not have believed it. I still don't believe it based on just like the packaging. You know, this is like, you know, it's staying true to the originals, but it's unsealed packaging with like nothing on the back. I'm just shocked, you know, and I hope that they do more WWE figures. But first up is this one. This is like the Ichiban Hogan. I know you have these already, but this is the Ichiban Hogan. And it's obviously the, you know, the black trunks and the silver boots. And my favorite part is the gold hair. Paying homage to the original Popey. And then we have the standard, you know, yellow and red with the same hair. But the thing that really stood out to me is that he really went the extra mile and got different molding for the bottom portion of the figure, because the Ichiban has molded Japanese Ichiban letters on the trunks. They're not just painted on. That's molding on there, which I thought was interesting. He easily could have just painted that on.
Oh, definitely. I assumed that he did. Good on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, good for him to do that. And the last thing I got was also when I went to that local Walmart and was pulling stuff off the pallet. I saw a little case that I was excited to see, and that was the Knuckle Crunchers case, Series 1. So, I'm pulling it out, and I'm cutting open the box, and I'm, like, going through them. I'm actually filming, like, a little video or whatever, and this woman comes up and is like, "Do you work here?" And I just ignored her, and she said it again, "Do you work here?" And I ignored her again, and she finally like said it a little bit louder. She's like, "Do you work here?" And I was like, no. And she's like, "Well, you can't go through our stuff." And I'm like, first of all, it's on the floor. Second of all, I'm buying it. I'm not stealing it. Third of all, you guys never stock anyway. If I came back in an hour, it's chancy these would be gone. But she ended up just walking away. I didn't even say anything to her when she said that. She just walked away. She didn't care. She just wanted to, you know, whatever. But all right, so I unboxed these and I fucking love these. These, in my opinion, are like the best Mattel WWE like minifigure that they've done. You know, those Slam Cities were like, ugh. What was the last thing that they did that were kind of like Slam City, but they were kind of upscaled a little bit?
I don't remember what they were called, but it was with the windowless packaging, like you could touch them.
Yeah, and they did the micro minis. They did the Beast Mode, which was basically the micro minis, just rebranded with like that little shell they came in. They did the Rumblers. But these, why I say these are the best is because the articulation on them makes them so that like these are actually playable for a kid. You can actually play with these figures. Like there's full articulation on these. And I don't know if you can see, because it's not focusing on his face because of my hat. There's actually pretty good likenesses on them. The Roman's awesome. The only thing is that they kind of like take the easy ray out that you would expect. It's like a lot of reused parts on everybody.
Yes.
But I think they're awesome. The size of them is perfect. The size of the ring is so cool. I love this rock, throwback rock. I'm so glad they went this route. They have Austin 316 Stone Cold coming out. And this one's so badass. The Flames, Rollins, so cool. And it's a great Series 1. Series 2 is going to have Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Sheamus, Cody, and Bobby Lashley. I think I'm a completist on this line. Loose. I got to get the ring with Brock, but I think it's going to be a nice little display with these figures. These are easily my favorite minifigures that Mattel's done. So,
yeah, I ran into them at the store, and I was tempted, but I mean, I like them for what they are. And yeah, if I would have seen The Rock or The Austin, I definitely would have scooped it, but I did not. But I got my eye on them.
Yeah, see, the thing is that the case has six in it. There's two Cenas, two Romans, one Seth, one Rock, which I guess makes sense, right? It makes sense. You're not going to – they're the two biggest stars outside of The Rock, I guess. You're gonna have doubles of them. But so that's my scoops for the week. That's your scoops for the week. We're going to move on to the next segment, which is Fig Photography of the Week, and I'm going to hand this over to you to take control. I got – control of the pictures over here, so whenever you're ready, brother.
Yeah, so you know, figure photography is a really big part of our community. There's so many talented photographers out there that post great pictures on Instagram and X and all the above, so we wanted to shed some light on some of those guys. And this week, you know, something caught my eye, and it was from Figure Kingdom. At Figure Kingdom, great follow, great guy. It's one of my buddies, and he's got that that Austin versus Brett from which Mania is that? I sound like a fraud. Is that 13?
13. Yep.
WrestleMania 13, and man, look at this shot here. This is a beautiful shot, and it's just, you know, I just love everything about what he does. And it's so nice. What do you think about it?
I think it's awesome. So I'm just gonna, since it is audio, I'm gonna like kind of describe it a little bit. Brett, which is that the ultimate Brett that we just got, the Monday Night Wars Brett?
I don't know. It's not that. The tights are different.
It could even be like a custom, maybe like a mishmash of stuff. But he's putting the figure four. It is kind of like a figure four, right? That leg lock.
I thought it was a figure four.
I just don't see Austin's other foot, but he's putting that leg lock on Austin at the turnbuckle from outside the ring while Austin is still in the ring. Brett did this a decent amount, and it looks great. It literally looks human. You know what I mean? And you can see off to the side, he's got the cameraman. He's got the motorcycle Terminator as like the security off to the side. He's got Marty McFly and Zack Ryder in the crowd, you know, and it's with that new
Hopper gen. Too.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, I love stuff like that. Cause here's the thing. Sometimes with fig photography, right, people do the crowd, right. And they'll put actual figures in the crowd, but sometimes those figures in the crowd are way more visual, and they catch your eye way more than the actual shot. So there is like an art to it, I think, of you know, putting Marty McFly in the crowd, but making sure that people don't only look at Marty McFly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I speak for a lot of people when I got, you know, when we got the new gen arena, I was like, I'm going to be a fig photographer, and I got this big ring, and I'm going to do it. And yeah, like a half hour into that, I threw my my Legends Mr. Perfect across the room, and I was out. It takes a lot of patience and talent to get the right shots. And I to be honest with you, I don't like articulating my figure so much. I feel like there's only so many times you can articulate a figure before it starts to become loose. And it just wasn't for me. But like, hats off to guys like Figure Kingdom, Goldberg, Maddie Goldberg, like. They really kill it, and I'm glad we have a little segment here where we can showcase their work.
Absolutely, man. They know the settings to put on the camera. They know how to light it. They know the angle to get it. Like, I think I even tried telling you. I was like, man, it's like I wouldn't want to do that. Like, I literally would not want to even attempt to do it because there's so much that goes into it. But this actually reminded me, the head on that Brett. You made a post recently, I think it was today, that you don't subscribe to the every Brett head is bad. So don't mean to put you on the spot, but I wanted to know what you think are some of the good Brett Hart head sculpts, head scans, because they're not really scans, right? They are kind of sculpts because it's retro Brett that Mattel has done.
Yeah, they're all sculpts. I don't think any of them are scans. Man, one that gets a lot of heat is the Survivor Series Brett with the orange trim on it. Everyone's like, oh, he looks like Howard Stern. Yo, Brett looks like Howard Stern. Like back in WCW when he started wearing the Stern glasses, I always thought he looked like Howard Stern. So, you know, it's a fair thing to point out that he looks like Howard Stern, but he really does look like Howard Stern. So, I mean, but I mean, yeah, the heads aren't the greatest and, you know, they're hit or miss, but, man, these Monday Night Wars ones they're terrible, man.
They are really bad. I'm trying to think of what the Monday Nitro 2-pack and the orange singlet, the head looks like, but what I will say is that I love that figure. I love the orange in the singlet. I think that they nailed it. They did a really great job. But
which figure are you talking about?
The orange, the one that you has said has like the orange accents in the singlet.
Oh, I thought you said the Nitro one. Sorry.
No.
With Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, Bill Goldberg, man. Bill fucking Goldberg. But yeah, so shout out to Figure Kingdom. Give him a follow. He's on X, he's on Instagram. Beautiful shots. He takes his time with everything, and even sometimes he'll show off his setup and a little bit of behind the scenes stuff. And even his setup is very, very neat, organized, clean, and very unique the way he does it. It's like a dark, dim lit room with like nice lighting on everything. You know, he does a really great job with everything that he puts out there. So shout out to Figure Kingdom on Instagram, on X. Give him a follow.
One more thing on the Figure Photography of the Week. If you want to be featured, just tag us and do hashtag fresh shots. And we'll pick the best one every week and we'll spotlight it.
I like that. Hashtag fresh shots. And yeah, we're always looking at stuff. We're always sharing stuff with each other. So why not share it with the community? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Get it out there for everybody. But we're going to move on to our next segment, which is back to the figure. So this is going to be a segment where, how about you explain the segment? Because this was really your brainchild, the idea of this whole thing.
So back to the figure. It's like, you know, a figure that you from back, you know, previously released, you're like, ah, I wish they would have done this, or why did they do this? If they would have done this, it would have been better. So it's kind of like, it's not really fantasy book, and it's just making a few changes, maybe an attire change or something like that. And that's about it.
Hindsight is 2020, right? Like
exactly. Yes.
What, especially the figure we're going to talk about today, it's not that it's a bad figure. It's just given everything that we know now in retrospect, it's not the figure we needed. Right.
Not at all.
So we're going to talk about it. And that figure is WWE Legends Series 2 Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah. Yeah. You think Jimmy Snuka, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about trunks, barefoot. That's definitive Snuka. And I mean, boots, tights, and this poncho thing he's got going on here. I mean, it's my opinion is, I think, you know, it was only like a year or so out from the Deluxe Classic that they did. And I think maybe Bill wanted to go in his own direction and didn't want things too similar. So he was like, you know, let me go with this. And then maybe we can revisit the trunks in the future. And yeah, some things popped up with Mr. Superfly, and that was the only figure we got.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, Joe, but for me, I have never in my life seen a Jimmy Snuka match where he was in tights. Never in my life seen a Jimmy Snuka match where he was in boots. My sole memories of Jimmy Snuka were in the trunks, in those wrist, those ankle wraps that he would have, right?
Yes.
So this, you know, I like obscure and unique. So I do think this figure is cool. I think it's great. But what would have made it really great is if we got another Snuka after it, or if we got a different Snuka before this. And
yes.
We've already discussed what we think it should be, right? But your
yes.
Your description to me when you said they probably didn't do it that way because of the Deluxe Classic that came out. I never thought of that. And it's absolutely right, because it was about a year and a half prior to the beginning of the Mattel license. Bill was probably looking back and was like, we don't want to release the exact same figure that Jax did. So what's another way we can do Snuka? You know, he was under contract at the time, and they did it. I think they did a nice likeness on the head and everything.
Yeah.
I like the cloth goods. You know, it got two releases, technically Series 2 and Hall of Fame, but you know, you fantasy booked it, and I'm going to show the picture that you grabbed, and man, come on.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, you know, who did you get this from? Do you remember?
I do not remember, no. Oh, no. It's the Axe Hennig.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, I remember you telling me. Yeah. The Axe Hennig. So he made this, you know, this Photoshop render, and you know, you added the headband, correct?
It's actually a figure. He customized the figure.
Oh, okay.
I just I tweaked it up, gave it a different skin tone, and put the headband on myself.
Gotcha. Now, question: would you still include that entrance cloth goods with this figure in Series 2 if this was how they booked it, or would you completely just leave it as it is?
I would leave it how it is right here.
Maybe even, like, you know what, man? Maybe even throw in a coconut and a cracked coconut.
Give me a coconut. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't remember Jimmy with the poncho all that often. And it's just, you know, it's just unnecessary.
But if Mattel was doing standard editions and chase variants back in the early years, the whole run of the WWE license, right? We talked about how this could have had a potential chase, or, you know, a change in the variation, which would be right here. And talk about it.
Oh, it's beautiful. It got it's, you know, subtle differences, which, you know, would fall in line with the chase these days. It's the black knee pads and then the goatee.
Yeah. And the thing is that it's these two simple little fucking changes make such a huge difference that, like, if you showed me this picture right here, right? The one of him clean shaven with the trunks, with the, you know, all the cheetah print and everything like that, and the headband. And then you just told me, oh, what if we did a chase with the goatee? I'd have been like, it's not even worth it. Don't even worry about it. All right. But you showing me this, when you showed me this picture, I was like, need that.
Definitely. Need that.
So the I'm going to describe it for the listeners. The chase variant is essentially the same thing as the standard, which is the cheetah print trunks, the cheetah print wrist tape, and the cheetah print ankle tape. But Joe photoshopped a goatee on Jimmy's face and changed the knee pads to black knee pads. And I got to tell you, it really pops, and it would make me want both of these.
For sure.
But,
for sure. But we'll post this on social so you guys can see it for sure.
Yeah. If you're not watching the video or whatever, but you know, sadly, I would bet money we are never getting another Jimmy Snuka in the Mattel line.
No, definitely not. That would be my guess as well.
So, but yeah, so that's a segment that we're going to do each and every week called Back to the Figure, which I think is a lot of fun. And
it's the best. We all love fantasy booking.
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't love doing that, right? And we're going to move on to another fantasy, kind of a sad fantasy. We're going to talk about an unreleased figure each week and just, like, discuss it, what it would have represented, what it would have meant to collecting and everything like that, and why we wish it came out. And so that was going to be our unreleased wrestling figure of the week right here. And if you guys don't know, I also run the Unreleased Wrestling Figs Instagram, where you can see a lot of these pictures and stuff like that. But
great follow.
Yeah, I think that was like my first Instagram page, actually. I believe so. Yeah. But I picked what I think is a very important inclusion in the unreleased wrestling figure world. It's a modern one. We were just talking about Legends 2, but this is from Legends 7. And that is the Legends 7 Stinger, right? Now, when the thing that's interesting about this to me, Joe, is that when this was shown, right, it actually got a lot of hate. If people are like, oh, I don't need short hair, Sting, not necessary. I got the DM, this, that, and the other. But there's this phenomenon, right? There's this phenomenon that happens when a figure ends up not being released. All of a sudden, we're like, fuck, I need that. I need it. And then when you start seeing people getting these like illegal factory samples or whatever, you almost like want it even more, right? And but I love this head. Essentially, yes, it is very, very similar to the DM. I understand that, like, look at that Scorpion. It's so pathetic. It's so small and like you know, like there are things about it that aren't great, but as Legends Completists, like I really would love this. And it's a different version of the Sting Crow makeup than we've ever really gotten. And now we're probably never getting this figure.
Yeah, this was like debut Crow Sting. Yeah. And I specifically remember us talking about this, and I was like, yeah, I don't need this Sting. Like, I'll get it because it's a Legends figure, but I didn't need it. You know, it was the short hair. I just wasn't a fan, and you were a fan. I'll give you credit. You wanted it. And as soon as they canceled that, John, I needed it.
Yeah, and that's it. It's something that happens, man. It's something that happens. But
so they're saying you can't have this.
Yeah, yeah. And the interesting thing about this is that I always wonder, because there are factory samples that people have gotten a hold of, but I always wonder, like, how far did it go, right? Because I'll show you, there was even packaging samples, printed up box samples of what it would have looked like, right? Like, it got far. Yeah. But this is the thing that always blows my mind, is that when Series 7 dropped, Target.com and WWE.com started showing these graphics. That even though it was pulled, and we knew it was pulled, pre-orders were up, and they knew it was pulled because it wasn't listed, but they were still advertising this figure in all of the promotional materials. And that's another thing that I think makes us want it even more, right? It's like,
oh, yeah, huge. It's a big tease.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge tease. So that is the first unreleased wrestling figure of the week, and that's Legend Series 7 Stinger.
I'm holding out hope. I'm hoping he signs a Legends deal and they give us that Sting. Now that I'm a Legends Completist, I think I need that, because my thing is I like to get autographs and I like signed figures, but I only want Legends figures signed. And you know, the Sting's got the DM. I don't really display my DMs, and I really don't have a Sting that I can get signed, and that would be perfect. So, man, fingers crossed they put that out one day.
I think he's gonna bounce back to the good graces of WWE. You know, I mean, how many of the same figure essentially have we gotten from Jazzwares? Like, it's
how did we not get a Surfer Sting? I don't understand it.
Dude, they fucking teased that they were going to do Blade Runner Sting. And everybody was like, oh my God, I want that. And then they fucking pull it. They teased that they were going to do the Captain Insano Big Show or Paul White. And then they pull that. It's like, but then they put out these whack repaints. It's like people still ask about that Blade Runner Sting, which, should that have been slated for a release before a Surfer Sting? I would say no, but I'm down for it, right? I'm down for a
Blade Runner. We never had one.
Yeah. And that what that does is that opens, you know, how cool. This is what got my wheels turning. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to drop this Blade Runner Sting. And then Bill's going to catch wind of it. And you know, Steve, and they're going to do Blade Runner Warrior. Now, they might not be exactly the same as far as, like, you know, the molding and everything like that. But how cool would that be to complete a tag team from two separate wrestling figure companies and wrestling promotions? To me, that would have been just so cool. It's a layup, if you ask me.
Oh, 100%. We were all hoping they did that, and man, it would have been nice, because you know Mattel would have went hard on that figure. Absolutely. To try to beat out the Jazzwares. But yeah, I that's a topic for another day. The Jazzwares luminaries, like,
oh, come on,
what are we doing?
I had huge hopes for that, but man, they really dropped the ball. So we're going to round it out with our next segment, which is Give Them a Follow. And I'm going to toss it over to you. And you're going to tell them who our Give Them a Follow is and who we are spotlighting this week.
Yeah. So for Give Them a Follow, it's just people that we respect, people we like in the community that, you know, maybe some people don't know about, maybe you do know about them, but you know, it's just another way we can highlight people in our community. And I mean, we both talked about it and we went out to highlight our buddy Import Figures at Import Figures on Instagram. Now he doesn't really collect too much, like modern Mattel stuff, which is why I like his account so much. He collects a lot of Japanese figures. He's got a ton of figures that I've never even seen before. And it's really cool to see. And he's a great guy.
Oh, he is. And he's a Philly guy. I don't know if you know that.
What?
He's a Philly guy who actually moved to, I want to say Detroit or Michigan.
Yeah, I thought he was a Detroit guy because he's, you know, that ICP shit.
Yeah, he used to work for them. You know that, right?
Had zero idea.
Yeah, he used to work for Psychopathic Records doing all kinds of stuff. And like, and at first I was like, really? And then like he literally sent me like fucking videos of like skits that they did. And he's in it. Like he's in these skits as like in like a courtroom as like a security guard or something. Very cool. But wow. Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. I think he did stuff for other bands too. I can't remember. But this picture gives you a good, I picked this picture first because it gives you a good idea of the kind of like crazy stuff that he collects. Like, what is that Hogan? Like, to me, that looks like a salt and pepper shaker, like a
1000%.
You know what I mean? Like, look at that thing. But how cool is that? Pink boots and black trunks. Like, it's so awesome. And the pose, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it's very similar to that Japanese like model kit. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The one that's unpainted. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know who makes it. I don't have a picture of it. But if you've been collecting a long time and you know about Japanese Hulk Hogan figures, there's this like, I want to say it's like a 10-inch model kit that's unpainted and it's kind of doing that pose. It's like point, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And then he's got like Tiger Mask. He's got this Curry Man G.I. Joe style 12-inch figure. Like, this is stuff that I had no idea existed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he was showing off one of the sets he completed a few weeks ago. And he's like, oh, I just completed the set. I'd never seen any of the figures in this set. It was some Japanese set. And it was beautiful. It looked great. But I don't even know who they are. And it's just like, you know, for me not to see figures at this point is wild to me.
These?
Yeah. Was it Inspires? Yeah. Look how beautiful that is. That looks great.
I know. That's one of the things that he has. And I'm just like, oh my God. It's so like, these are figures, like you said, I never knew existed. And the thing is, the thing that makes it hard to know a lot about these is that clearly we don't speak Japanese, right?
No.
So I don't know, even on like Japanese figures, the other thing that really confused me with them is when I do research on them for my books and stuff like that, it's so difficult to find any information because like, they never list like, not never, but a lot of times they don't list the toy company that makes it. They don't list a date on them, like a year. And it makes it so friggin' hard to like classify these and catalog them. So like usually with Japanese stuff, to be honest with you, I go right to Tony. I'm like, dude, what is this? And like, and he knows, like he's done the research for years. This is what he's into. This isn't a guy who goes into Targets and picks up every new Mattel release, right? He's into this like Japanese obscurity. And he built these like awesome shelves in his house and stuff. And like just great looking display. So Import Figures, definitely check him out. Look at these bobbleheads.
And that's Shivani. That's awesome.
It's a TNA D'Lo Brown bobblehead.
Oh my God. I didn't even know that was him. Wow.
It's like, and what's with that Seth back there? Like, is that even Seth? Like the body is, but is that head Seth? I don't even know.
Yeah. It looks like Seth without the blonde streak.
And who's the dude in the right hand corner with his foot on a keg? Like, I don't know who that is, but it's awesome.
I have no idea, but it looks great.
So cool. And like, he just has some really interesting stuff. And I didn't pick these pictures with the Figio figure on purpose, but
yeah, you did.
No, I really didn't. This thing right here, the unreleased TNA animated Curry Man, which for people who don't know, in TNA, that was portrayed by Christopher Daniels. And Curryman never got a TNA figure, but he was going to have this animated one that was going to come with Abyss and Christy Hemme. But these are his like Curryman collection. Very, very cool. Very clean, crisp, and well-done display. You can see he's got like a 12-inch Hogan back there. He's got the Keiji Muto thing up there. He's got some what's the Bullseye guy? Raging Bullseye? Or
Screaming Bullseye.
Screaming Bullseye. He's got a couple of them there. He's got some ICP figures there. And this isn't it. He's got more than this, but he just recently bought a new house and is like, you know, redoing the whole house. So like he doesn't have everything out. But yeah, very cool, unique collection. Give him a follow at Import Figures. And now what we're going to do is we are going to move on to the Q&A. So I'm actually going to let you go first.
All right. So the Q&A, it's my guy. We met him at the pop-up shop at Wrestling for Sale. It's at Glow_figure. And he has a very simple question is, do I collect cards? And I do. I don't post about cards too much. I'm a rookie. I really don't know what I'm doing, but there's certain cards that I like, you know, I see, I get the itch, you know, on Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, they start talking about cards and it gets me itchy. So, you know, I dabble in cards, but I would like to get more into it. But I mean, cards these days are just so expensive. And, you know, I catch the bug, but you know, what I'm trying to do now is just like, trying to get like rookies, like obscure rookies, like not, and I don't mean like value wise, like I think it's a 1995 Panini Bertha Faye. I need that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I need that graded, slabbed up. It's such a weird, obscure card and you know, Bertha Faye, come on. But I need that. So like that's, you know, I'm piecing together like a little collection. And so yeah, at Glow_figure. I do collect cards, and I'm assuming you're really in the cards, and we could chat up about that.
Yeah, and you recently got, what are those, the German Merlin cards, right?
Oh yeah, they're so dope.
I wish I told you, because you sent me this question earlier. I wish I told you then to bring the cards with you for the recording so that you could show some of them off. Maybe next episode you can grab them. Sure. And show them off. But man, I can't even describe how cool these German cards are that you got, these WWF cards. And you got a complete set, right?
Yeah, it's so much better than what we got in the States here. It's just like, what I like about the European cards is there's a lot of studio shots. And you know, like I think in the set there's like 4 Skinner cards. Like I need, you know, come on, a Skinner. It's got one where he's popping out of the water with a knife in his mouth. Like I love shit like that.
Mercy's on there, right?
No, he's not in the set I got. He's in that 1995 Panini set, okay. Which is ultra rare, but I need it. If anyone's out there.
I do remember you showing me. I wasn't sure if that was the same one, but the ones you were showing me, I was like, in the book, I was like, oh my God, these are insane.
Yeah, they're so cool. I'll make sure I have them for the next episode. We can go in depth.
So shout out to Glow_figures. By the way, you have a Case Fresh podcast magnet coming your way. We will slide into the DMs and ask you for your address so that we can send these out to you. And my question actually comes from at the _collection_federation. He said, what are your thoughts on canceled figures like Chief J Strongbow and Monday Night Wars Series 2 Rey Mysterio? I kind of hinted at this earlier that we were going to be discussing things like this. So my thoughts, my thoughts are kind of like conflicting. So first thing I will say, number one, we need stuff like this. You need stuff like this in collecting to keep things interesting, right? You need things to not be released. You need things to be canceled. You need that to get people, you know, to light a fire under people's asses and make them want something. You know what I mean? For instance, doesn't even have to be canceled. Flashback Series 3 Harley Race, right? I don't ever remember any fucking buddy who was clamoring, and I need Harley Race. I need it. I need it in the Elite line. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. It came out. It was short-run, basically. The distribution sucked on it, and it became super rare, a $400 figure. All of a sudden, everybody, people who didn't even know who Harley Race was, everybody wanted because it was a grail, right? You need these things to happen. And I don't think they do them on purpose, but you need these things to happen to really create that interest, right? And
yeah,
I'll be completely honest with you. Well, I'll ask you, Joe, are you a big Chief J Strongbow fan?
I am not.
Neither am I. I could not care less. When the figure was shown, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, I like the collector's editions, those the store exclusive. Oh, I'll get it, whatever. But then we started sweating a little bit, right? We put in, it wasn't coming. We were like, what's going on? And then we put in some orders, different places that had it listed, and they were getting canceled. And then you start sweating. And when you start sweating, you start wanting it more, right? You start wanting that figure more and more and more. Doesn't matter that it's fucking Chief J Strongbow that you've never seen wrestle in your life, that you've never had this, like, this connection with. Doesn't matter. It's not coming out. So automatically now I want it, right? I need it. So that's one side of the coin, right? But this Monday Night Wars Series 2 Rey Mysterio, huge one for me. Beautiful figure that they showed off at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm talking unmasked Rey, horns. He's got the overalls, right? Beautiful figure. In my opinion, could be up there as one of the better Mattel Elite Reys. It was very, very unique, different, well done. But I'll even admit that when they showed it, a part of me was like, I wonder if this is actually going to come out. Because you're talking about putting out a figure of somebody who moves a ton of merchandise that is basically completely revolved around a mask that he wears. And WWE does not promote him without a mask. They do not show that old footage of him unmasking WCW. It might be on the network, but they don't show it on weekly television. They don't show him without his mask. You know what I mean? Like this is a brand. This is somebody they brand with a mask. And in my head, I was like, I don't know if that's going to come out. Like, I can't see them approving that. Like, this is such an early sample that they showed. And I mean, I don't know firsthand because I didn't talk to Bill or Steve, but I don't know if a lot of people know this. But sometimes with those early prototypes, those grayscale prototypes, those are completely printed in-house. That's not something that they got from China. It's printed in-house. When I went out there, that was something that blew my mind. Like, do you remember the Nitro Arena Ultimates?
Yeah.
Those were all printed in-house. Those were not Chinese prototypes. And that's one thing people kept saying, why is this going to take a year when they already have the painted prototypes on? It's like, those aren't painted prototypes. Those are literally 3D printed that they just did to show you what they could look like. That wasn't anything. So seeing that, it was another indication to me. I was like, I wonder if this is coming out because I really want it, but like, I didn't want to get my hopes up. And then we saw, and it was that like ECW, WCW style pink and black diamond tights that I believe was initially released in the Rey Mysterio basic six pack that was exclusive to Toys R Us in the first year of the Mattel license. But now we're getting it in elite scale.
Yeah. It was supposed to, the Nitro Arena, they were going to do an ultimate edition of that gear.
Yes. Yes.
And then they said they wouldn't do it in an ultimate, but it's going to come out in an elite, which is fair.
And kind of the same thing with DDP. Like, we're not getting the ultimate, but we're kind of getting it in those Monday Night Wars elites.
Yeah. Yeah. You need DDP in that line, man.
Speaking of which, I'm kind of shocked that they didn't show off more big Papa Pumps. Like, we know everybody wants the tag team Steiners, right?
Yes.
But anyways, sorry. So my thoughts on canceled figures, like, it sucks. But if you are willing to pony up, then you're willing to really dig deep in your pockets. Some of these canceled figures you can own. Like, there's people who have the Chief J Strongbow. They're a couple $1,000 it's gonna run you. There's people who have that Legend Series 7 Stinger, right? It's going to cost you some money. We both have the Chase variant RVD. You know, you're damn right. There's a lot of things that you can still get, but, you know, you got to be willing to pay the price. And,
yeah,
you know, it, it is what it is. You know, it's just, it's part of the game. And I do think that you need unreleased things to entice people, you know. And here's the thing. Let me talk about this, okay? Do you think if Rhythm and Blues, Greg Valentine, Hasbro figure, there was no mix-ups with it, it came out as planned, do you think it would be this iconic figure that everybody knows if it came out?
Absolutely not.
It would be forgotten. It would be forgotten. Wouldn't even be discussed. But the fact that it didn't come out, and the fact that we saw it in these trade ads and these you know, magazine ads, makes you want it, right? It's that lure of like, I can't have it, so now I need it.
Yeah.
And so I like that. That's kind of cool. There's definitely been some figures in the past that I think got canceled that I think we really, really needed. I know that you weren't a Ruthless Aggression guy, but yeah. I was collecting the Ruthless Aggression figures, and they came out with the Super Crazy and Psicosis Mexicools 2-pack. And awesome figures. But they were supposed to come out with a single release of Juventud. And Juventud was like, you know, he's kind of the leader of the Mexicools. And I love the Mexicools. I don't know if you saw them, but they were a very fun group.
I mean, that was the time when I stopped watching wrestling, but I mean, I've seen clips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They looked entertaining.
They were entertaining, but like, you're going to release two of the three and like the main guy, like it kind of sucked, but I understood why, you know, he got released and there was some kind of drama of some sort. I forget what it was. And it didn't come out and it kind of left a hole in the collection, right? It kind of made those Super Crazies and the Psicosis 2-pack kind of like insignificant in the grand scheme of things. So sometimes it does affect the collection in a big way. Chief J not affecting my collection in a big way. Rey Mysterio, even so, great figure. It's not really disturbing the aura of my collection in a big way if we don't get it. Even that stinger we were talking about doesn't ruin my collection, but there have been ones that do, you know. Here's another example, actually. Elite Series 1 Jeff Hardy, right? That was the grail, right? At one point, that was the grail.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, like we need it. And then they released it in the entrance greats, Elites. And I'll be damned, I could go into any fucking Target, any Walmart at any time, and that Jeff was sitting on the shelf. Once it came out, it kind of killed that allure, right? It was kind of like,
yeah. And what year did that come out? When did that come out? In like 2018?
18, 19, something like that, yeah. Nine years after.
Yeah, and it retailed for what? I think it was $30, $32. It retailed for $30.
I want to say it was $24.99.
No.
No?
Maybe it was $24.99. I feel like it was like $30. You know what? Maybe it was. But anyway, you can go on Amazon right now. Go to my Instagram. Check out my Amazon links. I have it up there. You can get that Jeff Hardy for $27 still, which blows my mind.
Yeah, this is a figure that everybody talked about. It was the grail. And then they finally released it and nobody really cared. You know, the Jeff Hardy fans did. I cared. I got it. I know you got it. But like, it wasn't like this widespread, we need that, because that wasn't the Jeff Hardy that everybody was like, I need that version of Jeff Hardy, you know? And like, once he re-signed, it was like, oh, okay, well, we're going to get tons of Jeff Hardy. So is this the one that I really need, or am I going to wait until this other Elite comes out? You know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happens with it. But like Chief J, like, all right, this Rey Mysterio, no matter what, probably would have sold decently as Rey Mysterio. But Chief J Strongbow, if this came out, this probably would have been a very Mae Young-esque collector's edition figure that just was on every shelf.
Yeah, Freddie Blassie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's of that ilk for sure. I needed it because I want to get one of every flashback legend for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, no connection to Chief J whatsoever. But you're right. That unreleased aura about it. It's like, oh, can't have that, huh? Need it.
That's exactly what it is. It's the second you can't have something, you don't want it, you need it. And it's a weird thing that it's kind of like an addiction, right? But
yeah,
Shout out to the Collection Federation, the underscore collection underscore federation on Instagram, and at glow underscore figures. Give them a follow, and we have magnets coming out to you guys. But yeah, so there's our segments, and we're going to do a little bit of roundup here, round up the episode. I was very happy with the performance of last week's episode. Initially, I was a little worried. Never put out a podcast, never recorded a podcast, never uploaded a podcast, never nothing with a podcast. And the response was very, very good. We appreciate all of the reviews you guys put out there. So continue with those reviews. Ideally, 5-star reviews. That would be great. We're trying to get the algorithm in our favor. So no matter where you listen to this, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, give us a review, please. And we will figure out a way to pay you guys back, right? We'll figure something out. I don't want to do the whole you get a magnet. I want to come up with something else. And I, as I told you, I have some ideas of some cool giveaway gifts and things like that that I want to work on getting. But please, even if you've already left a review, continue to leave another one. I don't really care. Leave another one. I would love to see your name.
Yeah, as many as you can. And hey, if you're listening to it, screenshot that you're listening to it, add it to your story, tag us, and we'll feature you in our stories. Like, we appreciate all the love we're getting. And like you were just saying, we never did this before. Our pilot episode, I didn't know that was going up on iTunes. Like, I didn't think we were going to broadcast that. And you're like, oh, yeah, that sounded good. I'm uploading it now. I'm like, what? But, you know, I had some audio issues first one, but you know, we're figuring it out, and it's only going to get better, and we appreciate all the love for sure.
You had audio issues, I had video issues. We are going to work on getting video up each week as well, which this week we're going to give it a try. You know, we had a lot of visuals this week, right? We got the all the graphics and stuff up there. We got a cool background, which I love the background, man. I really do love it.
Oh, it's great.
Shout out to Brian D, man, for obviously this whole background came from the idea that he created on our logo, which, you know, maybe I'm biased, but man, that's a great logo.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Like, what I like the most about our logo is it's original. It's not playing off of something else. It's not a parody. It's something that we thought up, and we had Brian create for us, and shout out Brian. Is it Brian DeRost or
DeRost? I don't really know how to say it. That's why I just said Brian D, but it's
yes. Sorry for butchering your name, but shout out that guy. He works on WWE things. He's a great graphic designer. I suggest you give him a follow as well.
If you know what the Bleacher Creatures are, or the Curreachers, or the 24-inch Bleacher Buddies that WWE has out, that's all him. That's all Brian. So he does great work, and he designed the fucking retro WWE toaster.
That might be above the Bleacher Creatures for me.
Yeah, man, he fucking designed the WWE toaster. Help us out, and we're gonna find a way to help you out, whether it's plug in your page or whatever. We really want to give you guys something different in the community, and we're gonna be bringing a lot of cool segments to this, not even just the ones we talked about today. We got more planned in the future that we have coming. We have some really fun stuff that we're gonna be doing. So that concludes the official episode one of the Case Fresh podcast. I am Fig Heel, and you can follow me on Instagram, on TikTok, on X, on YouTube, on Facebook at Fig Heel, or if you're on X, it's actually at the Fig Heel, because they kind of, closed my account on me because it got hacked and they wouldn't give it back to me. And speaking of which, dude, we already got one of our accounts suspended.
What?
Yeah. Our TikTok. I don't know. I went to go sign into it today. Our Case Fresh TikTok that we've never even used. I literally, the only time I've ever been in it was the day that I created it. And I went to go log in today, and it said account suspended.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, we need that.
I know. There's definitely a way to get it back. I don't think it's permanently. I think it's a temporary suspension, but I don't know why. I don't know what
we didn't. What were you looking at on there, brother?
Yeah, I know. My algorithm must be dirty. But other than TikTok, or I guess you could try following us on TikTok until we get that figured out, see if it'll let you. You can follow the Case Fresh Podcast on all social media at Case Fresh Pod, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. It is all on there. And my friend here, Joe the Fig Vault, he's going to give you his socials right now.
Follow me at Fig Vault on everything. Period. That's it.
Bag Vault.
No, that's not bag. I'm bag vault when I'm carrying your bags at the wrestling for sale pop up. But yeah, I'm at Fig Vault on everything.
Yeah. Very, very simple. When we were designing our names, we were talking about how we wanted to keep them nice and short and sweet, so it's easy for people to navigate and get to. So yeah. So that concludes everything. Make sure you come back next week for episode 2 of the Case Fresh Podcast, and we're going to have a whole new slew of figure news, unreleased figures. We're going to spotlight some collections, and we're going to talk about Back to the Figure next week. Thank you for joining us. I'm the Fig Heel, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.